back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So let's start with one kind of bizarre story here. While working as a substitute teacher, Kansas State Representative Mark Semel, reportedly went on a number of strange religious rants about suicide, sex, and same-sex relationships, and then physically attacked a student after getting into an argument with them about politics and religion. At one point, he apparently suggested that a sophomore at the school tried to kill himself because his foster parents are lesbians and went on a rant about the devil's music. Students sent in recordings of many of his tirades, and the school and the state legislature are investigating. However, as a lawmaker, he has immunity from criminal prosecution, so it's actually exceedingly unlikely that he will get in any kind of trouble for this. In terms of average people who can be prosecuted, as of today, approximately 400 people have been arrested for attending riots at the nation's capital in January. Many of these individuals were identified due to posts they made on social media or posts other people made on social media. In at least one case, a man bragged to a woman on Bumble that he had been involved. She swiped left and then called the police, and he was later arrested. And on the same topic, Newsmax issued a retraction last Friday for sharing theories about rigged Dominion voting machines. They released a statement saying, Newsmax subsequently found no evidence that such allegations were true. Many of the states whose results were contested by the Trump campaign have conducted extensive recounts and audits, and each of these states certified the results as legal and final. This correction was most likely spurred by a lawsuit by an engineer working for Dominion, who Newsmax singled out in their coverage as the likely culprit for rigging the election. In the last few months, Fox and OAN have also released various similar retractions. Back to you, Chauncey.
Okay. This is a whole lot of...
Yeah, it was a light week for Bigfoot and UFOs.
Yeah, so, but a big week for government conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that there's a lot of people who listen to this that maybe think a lot of this stuff is real. And, you know, maybe some of it is. Maybe we do have to throw in that maybe some of it is. But let's start out with the substitute teacher, because that has nothing to do with anything. I'm constantly kind of shocked with this whole culture wars thing that we live in the United States and that people are so upset about their neighbors being different. They've always been different,
mm-hmm.
You know, or at
well,
least in all of these people
fear. So,
yeah, but in all
a fan of that, I guess
in all of these people's lifetimes, it hasn't been so much in fear that they're just not there at all. You know,
well, sure.
It's just wild to me that, like, I don't know how much support is somebody getting when they're shouting about the devil music. I mean, this guy had to have grown up listening to, I mean, given his age bracket, he had to have been listening to music.
Yeah, the guy's
in the
36.
I mean,
he's
36 and he's talking about devil music.
I know. It's funny. I don't know.
What the hell does this guy listen to?
It was unclear what he was referring to, so I don't know if he's like, you know, rock and roll and Elvis Presley with his
definitely, drink. Yeah.
I don't know if that's
Elvis
what he's worked up about.
Sending us to heck.
Maybe, you know, he's worked up about rap or something.
Oh, my God. How is rap devil music? I mean...
Well, this guy's probably racist.
I guess.
Just judging by everything else that happened in the story.
So Cardi B's a Satanist, but... Ozzy Osbourne's cool.
Yeah, like, I mean, I have no idea what this guy's thought process was. I just read through the story and the hits kept coming. First of all, why is he working as a substitute teacher when he's a Kansas State representative?
Yeah.
That's unclear. And then, you know, he rants about the devil's music and then attacks a student.
And then why is he not able to be prosecuted? What's up with that BS?
Well... It is BS, but, you know, at the national level, and I'm pretty sure all of the states, too, have this in their constitutions, that basically you can only be tried for, like, you can only be arrested and for, like, treason and various other things, and also misdemeanors, but in terms of felony, you're, like, you have immunity, basically. So what would have to happen is for this guy to get impeached, which... The thing about impeachment is it's the way impeachment works is if your party controls the legislature, then you're innocent, and if the other party controls the legislature, then you're guilty. It has absolutely nothing to do with the facts of the case or what you did.
Right. Which it should. So like, it would be nice.
Yeah, it should. I think the framers didn't anticipate, you know, just, like, how craven people would be in power. And just how strong factions would be, so.
I get it for a sitting president. I do. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Trump. Everybody knows I didn't like Trump. But when they were saying that they can't just straight up prosecute him when he's the sitting president, I understood that on some level at least.
Sure.
But for this guy, basically.
Yeah, he's a Kansas state legislator.
If you're not allowed to be prosecuted for a felony, I think the follow-up rule should be, you're not allowed within 100 feet of any of our children, because what if you perform a felony on them and get away with it? That's not okay.
I mean, in general, it's just a completely broken system, right? I mean...
Well, I don't know if it's completely broken, but I think we have a weird ecosystem of paperwork that allows for some weird loopholes, but I mean, I definitely don't think it's totally broken. I think that
this guy could hold up a liquor store, and if his party really liked him, you know, he could get away with it,
right? Yeah.
which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I don't know, I think that would be cooler than talking about devil music to the kids. I mean,
oh, well, it's a pretty low bar. Like, this guy is as uncool. He's just, you know, Jerry Falwell in short shorts mowing his lawn on levels of uncool. Just.
Ew. I don't like that. All right, the next one. 400 people arrested for the national assault on the Senate. I'm surprised they found all these people.
They should have tried being members of Congress.
Yeah, I'm curious how many... Americans actually think that those people were doing the right thing.
Well, it's...
I don't think it's 50%, but I am curious.
No, but my guess is based on the numbers for similar things, it's probably like 40 to 60% of Republicans.
So you think it's about a quarter of the population of the voting population?
Well, I mean, you've got to remember that, like, half the country doesn't vote at all, essentially.
Right.
So, you know, we're talking about a quarter of a half. So, yeah, I would say, like, an eighth of the country, probably.
Right.
I did not say it was okay to do math and statistics like this, but since
anybody who's looking to us for on the fly numbers, you
exactly.
know,
but yeah, probably an eighth, 12%, ish, I would guess.
Yeah.
So, that's. I mean, it doesn't mean 1 in 12 people you meet, because like I live in Seattle, you know, it's. No, up course. Here, it's probably 1 in 200, but
right.
If
well, know, I live in Southern Oregon, right? So it's probably the other way around.
Right? Yeah. Well, Ashland is a college town, but you know, if you go 20 minutes to Medford, yeah, I think most people there probably think, yeah, the election was stolen.
Huh? What do we do about that? I mean,
I keep saying we need to divide up the country, but it's
how does that fix anything? Obviously, countries start wars with one another. You think we're going to divide the country in half and then the two of us are just going to get along all dandy now?
If we divide up the nuclear weapons, too, I think we'd have to.
I don't. I think that's, as a parent, I got to say that's sort of missing the lesson here. And
I just don't think.
I think the lesson here is that people learn to get along and people learn to compromise.
I think that's possible.
All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Stick around. We got more. Or do we?
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take a chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest is Shannon Bradley Byers. I assume I said that correctly. How are you doing this evening?
I'm just great. How are you? And you did say it correctly.
Oh, good, good. Paranormal genealogist. You know, how do you get a title like that? I assume half of it's from going to school for it, and the other half of it's from putting two things together.
Well, none of it's for going to school for it. I started paranormal stuff way back in the 70s. I started genealogy stuff way back in the 80s, and in the 90s and early 2000s, I learned how to put the two together. Mm-hmm. When I started investigating residential homes, one of my things is I don't like going in cold. I like knowing as much history about the city, the county, the city, the house, the land, where the house is. Mm-hmm. So when I would get done with an investigation, when we would do the quote-unquote reveal, the homeowner would get a booklet that had all the documents that I had dug up on everybody that had ever lived in and around that house. If it was Civil War related, they got Civil War records. If it was, you know, War of 1812, they got those records. They get copies of all the land deeds that I went and looked for. So they basically got a little mini genealogy thing with it, along with the whatever we had found in the investigation.
That's very cool.
And I started a blog years and years ago, and one of my friends, you know, I was looking for a name for it, and he's actually the one who named me the Paranormal Genealogist, because I couldn't come up with anything that sounded cool.
Right. Well, he did you a favor. It does sound cool.
He did. He did. I mean, I am very fortunate because the couple that I had liked were already taken by somebody else, you know, people that were combining research and paranormal stuff, so.
Yeah, the genealogy aspect of it, you know, when I assume that for the most part the internet has made that easier, but it also would possibly create a situation where a lot of paperwork fell by the wayside and was kind of thrown out, and you know, like transferring notes from one book to another, you get rid of the ones that you don't want. Was anything lost in that transfer?
No, not that I've noticed. I mean, it's, you know, when I started doing actual genealogy research, computers didn't exist. So I learned to do all the research old school, going to the courthouses, going to the libraries, going to historical societies, the archive, national archives and places like that, and learning how to read microfilm. And I guess one of the things I've been blessed with is that I can read old handwriting. I have no problems reading, you know, all those old court documents. And
that is
so
a blessing. Kinda, my aunt will send me a birthday card, and I have to have my wife read it to me. Cause
I have similar things. Yeah. You know, so that kind of got me into working with local historical societies where I live and transcribing stuff for them when they wanted to print books, or when they wanted to digitize stuff and be able to put it online and have the transcript so your normal everyday person could read it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the advent of things like, you know, the genealogy websites and all the historical societies that are digitizing stuff, they don't have everything up, but, you know, if I need something from, you know, Washington State, or I need something from Louisiana, I don't have to go there now to find the actual documents that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't noticed that it being online is a bad thing yet. You know, it's just not everything is there.
Right.
Because a lot of places, you know, they don't want to put their stuff online because they want people to visit their whatever archives or museum that they are to get people in there to see their stuff, so they won't put it up online. So some stuff is hard to find and some's not.
That makes sense. That actually makes sense. I'm here in Ashland, Oregon. I haven't been here too long. I'm from Redding, California, and down south, and we had the Shasta Historical Society, and it was always there and full and active, and I assume that's the sort of place that you go to, is this historical society. It's full of books about the area. Yeah.
They want members, so, you know, their thing is, we have all these things you can come look at if you pay the membership fee and the news.
Right.
And, you know, so I could see both sides. But the things like, you know, the National Archives and the State Archives, especially here in Georgia, you know, they have been working on the digitization project for so many years, which is really helpful in this last year during COVID, because they've been kind of focusing on that, and they've gotten more stuff up that you may not be able to see, because I live like 45 minutes from the location of where the National and the State Archives is. They're in the same parking lot. And, you know, driving down there, you know, you've got to have an appointment to get in. And it's one of these places where you can only take in a notebook and a phone and a pencil. You can't have an ink pen. And so all these different places do different things, you know, to keep their records intact. And then you make appointments to, well, I want to see this really special book. So they take you in this room and they give you the gloves, and you get to do the things that you see on the genealogy shows on TV that look
That's cool. That's fun.
But I've been doing that for a really, really long time. So it's just I found a way to marry it with all my paranormal stuff.
So why paranormal stuff? You know, a lot of people have the interest in the genealogy. You know, I'm a member of 23andMe. I got my DNA tested, but I'm adopted, you know. But why the paranormal stuff? You know, how'd you get started there?
Well, way back in the day, I don't know if they had them out where you grew up, but we had book fairs in elementary school.
You'd be surprised how many times I hear this as a reason, you know, and I agree. You get those books, you know, those books like 10 haunted places around the countries, and you just sucked in. Is that where you're going with this?
It was one very specific book. It was by Larry Kettelkamp, and it was called Haunted Houses. And the cover of the book had a picture of the Lady of Rhinum Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the minute I saw it, I fell in love with it. And I was like, it is going to be my life's mission to take that kind of photograph. You know, now this was like 1976. So I was 8. And, you know, so that's before the days of, you know, everybody saying everything's fake and all that stuff. So my parents, when I was growing up, when we'd go on summer vacation, it was always somewhere historic. You know, we would spend a week somewhere in and around Georgia, you know, where I would learn something while we were there. And one of the places we always went to is called St. Simon's Island. And they had a battle called the Battle of the Bloody Marsh at Fort Frederica. And it's just, you know, Christchurch is there, and you've got all these, you know, Spanish moss trees over these graves from the 1700s. And, you know, I would spend my summers with whatever camera we were using at the time, you know, real film cameras, to try to get pictures of ghosts. Mm-hmm. And it just went from there. And, you know, it hasn't stopped. It's still my thing to, you know, it's harder now to try to get photographs because cameras are not the same as they were when I was younger. I really enjoyed the film camera aspect better because the digital cameras have proven to make their own ghosts, so to speak. So film was a lot more fun when you get it developed and you'd have some wispy thing on the side of a tombstone or out on a battlefield or something like that. But that's how I got into it.
Yeah, I always wondered that about cameras. Like, was there a difference between the analog and digital camera when it came to...
Oh, there's a big difference.
Researching this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to the point now where digital camera companies are putting in their instruction manuals why you're getting orbs in your pictures.
Oh, really?
Because I am not an orb person at all. So, you know, I know it's environmental or it's what you're doing with the camera or something like that. One of the funny stories that I tell is for my first book, I wanted the cover to be something that was, you know, a picture that was all orbs. And I had a brand new DSLR camera. I couldn't get that camera to make an orb to save my life. I finally had to spray water on the lens. I was shaking, you know, feather dusters in front of it and taking pictures. And the camera is so good, it would not make orbs. And I ended up having to go find an old photograph from my very first digital camera back in 1999 to get an actual picture that had all the orbs that I wanted in it for the book cover.
I'd say.
So it's, yeah, cameras now are not, I still prefer film. I would rather use film over or digital any day.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
I'm Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Battle Creek Bridge crosses Battle Creek on Jellies Ferry Road. The north side of the bridge is in Shasta County, and the south side is in Tehama County. It was built in 1911, is 152 feet long, and was engineered by Robert L. Reading, son of Major Reading. In 1984, a new bridge was built on its east side because it was too narrow, load-limited, and posted for less than current legal loads. The old bridge was left in place and today is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Do you find that it's difficult to separate true crime from paranormal when researching, or do you find that there's always a crossover there, or do you have to separate yourself on that?
No, I don't separate myself at all. I think the obsession with true crime is what leads me to decide what I want to research, mm-hmm. whether the case interests me or not. Lizzie Borden was my first.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with this. I'm like everybody else. I have a big interest, and I find that when we dig into it, it's at least on this mainstream level, Lizzie Borden is not as exciting as I had hoped that she was. So I'm hoping that you can give me some of this excitement. Well, you know,
when again, this is back in the 70s, so it's still around the time when I was 8, 9 years old when I was introduced to the Lizzie Borden movie that Elizabeth Montgomery was in. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated, you know, that I don't know if you've ever seen it, but that one scene of her standing there pretty much naked in the wash tub, washing the blood off of her. As an 8-year-old, that fascinated me.
That's disturbing, but go ahead.
Well, I'm a disturbing person.
Yeah, I know.
So seeing that and, you know, back then it was encyclopedias and going to see if anybody had written books. It wasn't looking up Wikipedia to see what the new theory of the week on her is. You know, it was things that had actually been written, and it was just something that, you know, the fact that this woman could do this to her family, why, you know? And then I graduated from that to the Pearl Bryan case, which is one of the chapters in the book. And, you know, I knew that case inside and out because of all the research I'd done when I was younger.
Now, that's not a name that I'm familiar with. Pearl Bryan.
Okay. Pearl Bryan is the person who is associated, and I say that in, you know, Dr. Evil air quotes, with Bobby Mackey's Music World. She's the one that supposedly was murdered and her head was thrown down the well to hell down in the basement in Bobby Mackey's. And the ghost shows, you know, of course, these were episodes that were aired about this. And it was probably, I'm going to say 8-9 years ago that the Bobby Mackey episode aired, and I'm sitting there watching it, and, you know, and I was like everybody else, you know, since I've been looking for stuff for so long, when it finally graduated to there were TV shows about it, I was really excited and didn't really see the problems with it at the time. But when I saw the episode on Pearl and they started attributing all this history to her and the town of Wilder, Kentucky, that was either not true, had been picked up from another town, kind of cross-contaminated facts from places. And, you know, because I knew her case so well, I was like, well, if they're doing this to her, what are they doing to other people?
Right.
Fisher at Old Charleston Jail, you know, the Myrtles Plantation, you know, all these places that were big TV episodes, you know, what were they lying about there? So that's where, you know, I got that, and it's like, no, we're going to research all these main places that appear on the TV shows and see what else they're lying about. And that's what I've spent the last 9 years doing.
And have you found, well, let's ask the big question, have you found that they're wrong a lot?
100% of the time.
Oh, I see.
Well, let's say 99%.
No, I get where you're going.
Very few places, like Villisca, the Villisca Axe Murder House. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
No.
That's one that they do that they don't misconstrue the history. But most of the others, they're you know, there's always a kernel of truth. You know, it may, you know, just be a person's name and not any event. But my thing is, you know, they're disrespecting the dead. They're attributing things to people that they never did. Like with the Conjuring House, if you look at the Bathsheba Sherman case, you know, everything that they've attributed to her, I've proved completely incorrect. And, you know, they have maligned this woman to the point to where, you know, she can't even have a gravestone on her grave anymore because everybody is going to desecrate it and destroy it or vandalize it because of what the books and the movies have said about her.
Now, this is from the Conjuring movie?
Yes.
So, you know, I make this clear to a lot of people. I actually have always had an interest in paranormal. I'm not hugely versed in the real world of paranormal, but I am hugely versed in horror films. So the Conjuring, I definitely know. So I knew that this was not an accurate portrayal, but you're saying this is nowhere near.
No. Nothing they said about her is true, except her name. That's the only thing they got right. You know, she was a farm woman who, you know, was raised in a town in Rhode Island, had an ordinary life, married another farmer, raised a family, you know, Baptist woman, died, was buried. There was nothing extraordinary about her. There is nothing about her that's connected to anything nefarious.
So why the connection? Why they put it together? It was just easy, logistically easy?
You see, and that's something that I don't know, because the people that did it are dead now. So we've got no way of knowing why the Warrens came up with that name. Not that they would have ever admitted, you know, that they completely lied about this woman and tried to destroy her reputation. But that, you know, that's where that name came from, was Ed and Lorraine.
Right. And yeah, they have the reputation for some reason. They have a reputation. I've looked into them quite a bit because I enjoyed the movies. And to me, as soon as I started reading about them, I'm just all like, as cool as this would be if it were real, this has BS written all over it, in my opinion.
Well, and it did. You know, one of the things that and you'll have to forgive me because sometimes I get confused as to what was in the actual movie and what was in the books that was written.
Yeah, no worries.
The girl who grew up in the house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that the Warren supposedly pointed out was this murder of Prudence Arnold, that was this horrible murder that took place in that house and is one of the reasons it was so haunted. Prudence Arnold was murdered over the state line in Massachusetts in her own home.
Hmm.
You know, she wasn't in that house. She wasn't on that farm. She wasn't even though she had the same last name as Arnold, she wasn't associated with that family. And it's just things like that, you know, that when I see, you know, you've got this poor girl who had her throat slit by some guy who wanted to take advantage of her and murdered her, then tried to kill himself and couldn't do it because, in his words, it hurt too bad. And then went on to be.
That part's probably true.
Yeah. Well, he tried to slit his throat too. And it's like, no, this hurts. I can't do this.
It was so easy on her. Why is it so hard?
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, that's, you know, I hate to use the word crusade, because that can take on so many connotations. But, you know, I feel I owe it to these people that have passed on and cannot stand up for themselves anymore. That are being maligned. Same with Pearl Bryan. The things that they were saying about her and the fact that it was part of a satanic ritual, which, you know, satanic rituals didn't exist in that part of Kentucky in 1896. And
frankly, I don't think they really exist now.
Well, you've got more of a, you know, the internet's a great place for people who are different to get together.
Oh, well, yeah. I think there's Anton LaVey kind of stuff, but there's never, like, I don't think, you know, true Satanists, you know, which is a little disappointing because, I mean, I do this show. I mean, I want to find some real Satanists, but every time I look for them, I can't find them.
If I run across any, I will let you know.
Good.
But it's, you know, a very good example, and one of the things I point out in my book, in the Pearl Bryan chapter, is, you know, the shows all say that her head was thrown down the well to hell. And there is this big hole in Bobby Mackey's basement. And they also say, you know, it was a slaughterhouse. It was never a slaughterhouse. At the time Pearl Bryan was murdered, it was a whiskey distillery. And what had happened is the person that owned the whiskey distillery made a contract with the railroad to dig 3 viaducts from the distillery under the railroad tracks to the Licking River to pump in water for the distillery process. So the hole that everybody keeps talking about is one of those viaducts that's left over from the whiskey distillery.
I see.
So that's just kind of an example of, you know, what's real and what they say on TV.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2, crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf. Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious, medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Listening to Free Fire Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Scary moment, I don't scare. So that's, you know, I could say one of the most interesting moments that I had. Mm-hmm. We were at one of the state parks, the one that I was talking about, and it was built on an old slave plantation. And we had been called in because a white woman, had reported being choked, held down in her bed and choked, and then grabbed from behind and around her throat and choked when she was in the kitchen. Mm. So we went down there, and you know, I thought I was so smart. You know, we have digital cameras that we use, and anytime we would buy a digital camera, you know, we would always bring it home, set it up, tape us sleeping in the bedroom so we could see how it works, what affects it, you know, the weird things the cats do while you're sleeping, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So we took the camera. We went to bed. We plugged it in. You knew exactly. You had the angle that we wanted, and it was on the bed that this was reported to have happened in, and my husband and I were sleeping in that bed. And I remember I woke up, it was like 6:13 in the morning, and I woke up because I'd felt something grab my foot. And it's kind of a, you know, did my husband kick me? Did, you know, I'm trying to figure out what happened. And, you know, his legs are on the other side of the bed, and while I'm trying to figure this out, the comforter on top of the bed got yanked completely off the bed from the bottom and ended up on the floor. Well, we're the only ones in this room, and I'm jumping up and down, and I'm so excited because I'm like, we've got the video camera going. We got this actually happening on camera, right? Mm-hmm. This happened at 6:13. The camera cut off at like 6:02. And that happened both nights, two nights in a row in this place. That's what happened. The camera cut off before that happened. So, you know, I've had interesting experiences, but I, like I say, I don't scare at all. You know, none of this is ever scary to me because it's more, I approach it as more of a, I'm there to help the dead person. Mm-hmm. I'm not there to help the family that's living in the house, because if there is honestly a dead person in your house, that means they haven't crossed over. And that is what I want to do, is get that spirit to move on.
So you don't think we have much to fear?
I help the dead person, I help the living person.
So you don't think, that's right. So you don't think we have much to fear from ghosts or anything other than our own feelings about it? They're not going to hurt us.
In my opinion, no. Now, there are hundreds of TV shows that will tell you differently. Mm-hmm. There are other people that, you know, feel that they have been physically harmed by dead people. And I'm not at all going to say that they're wrong. You know, there's people that have been reported pushed downstairs. There's people that's been reported held down in their bed. So whether it's physical or psychological torment, I've never experienced that myself. And most of the dead people that I have run into, I always say, have you got children?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Great. I always tell people, it's like, you know, when you've got a toddler who's 2 years old and you try to go to the bathroom and you shut that door, that toddler is on the other side of that door trying to do everything possible to get your attention.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
And I liken that to dead people. It's like when you die, you keep the same personality you had when you were alive, except you turn into a 2 year old. And if you think there is someone in your vicinity that notices your presence, whether they can actually hear you, you know, if you try to talk to them, or they just notice the things you're doing, you know, they're wanting help. And, you know, to me, that's the job of a paranormal investigator, is to help that dead person go where they need to go.
Right.
And get out of the living space and leave the living people alone.
You know, your story about sleeping with your husband and the blanket coming off, I had this dream one night that I was running, and I was just running as fast as I could, and I slowly woke up to someone yelling, ow, 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 and I realized that I was laying in bed on my side running, and in the process of doing so, I was kicking my sleeping wife repeatedly, and she's all, ow, ow, you know, in her half sleep, you know.
But you've got people that would take that experience and try to make it something it's not. Turn it paranormal, or try to, you know, like your wife woke up. Let's say that she didn't actually wake up while you were doing that, mm-hmm. but she woke up with bruises the next morning from where you kicked her.
Right, right. She did.
So she's like, I wake up, I've got all these bruises. I have nowhere, you know, no knowledge of where they came from. Right. Something demonic must have happened to me in my sleep.
Right, right. Your husband, was he always into this, or did you convert him, or did you guys find each other through this?
He was into it as a teenager. He kind of, where we live, you know, there's always these places where kids go, you know, that are supposedly haunted, or, you know, those places where you leave your car and they'll have handprints, or it'll move, or some haunted abandoned house that somebody got murdered in. And kids go to scare each other to do these things.
I would have, yeah.
And you know, he was not much of a believer, but he did want to, you know, his thing was he was always going to protect the girls, you know, because, you know, he's been a ladies man since he was born.
Right.
So, you know, he was going to protect the girls. Well, he had an actual experience one of these times that scared the crap out of him and made him more interested in it. So he already had a deep-seated interest in it by the time he and I met. And so it's just something we had in common.
Well, I'm always curious, like, about how family members handle this sort of thing. Like, do your family's members think you guys are nuts?
Well, it depends on which family member you're talking about.
The religious ones probably do.
I always laugh and say, you know, my mother is, you know, always the first one to tell me, A, you know, if I'm talking to dead people, I'm talking to demons. But when I come back from an investigation, she was always the first one to, oh, what happened? What kind of evidence did you get? What did you find? Did you, you know, so we've been very lucky. You know, his parents and my parents have supported us. You know, my mother, with me growing up, you know, did this with me every summer when I was looking for ghosts. So she knows it's something I'm interested in. It's just, you know, you've always kind of got that battle, you know, the Bible says one thing, but you know, when your daughter's doing something else,
right.
You want to know both sides.
So. Right. Yeah, of course. Well, we don't have too long until the end here. You know, what's the best place for people to get in touch with you? Is it the paranormalgenealogist.com? Is that the best place to send people?
Actually, I don't do a whole lot with the website anymore. Looking me up on Facebook under Shannon Bradley Byers and sending me a message will be your best way. Okay. I do have a Paranormal Genealogist Facebook page, so you can find me there as well. I don't do a whole lot on it anymore. It's just there's so many of those pages that it got hard trying to keep it relevant with what I did.
Right.
So, you know, I'd rather have one-on-one conversations with people. So I have no problem with them finding my personal Facebook page and sending me a message and saying, hey, I'd like to know about this. Where can I find your books? You know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, just look me up under Shannon Bradley Byers on Facebook.
And where can they find your books? Their best bet to look you up on Amazon?
Amazon has it. iTunes has it as an ebook. I have ebooks and hard copies on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and then iTunes has it as a ebook there as well.
All right. Well, you know, this has been a lot of fun. You know, I have had quite a few ghost researchers, paranormal researchers, and you know, you're the only one that I can say is so much in the nuts and bolts category. I really like this genealogy angle of going at it. I think it's super interesting. Thank you.
I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland with Shannon Bradley Byers. Be sure to look her up on Facebook, Shannon Bradley Byers. Check out her books on Amazon. And if you can't find any of those links, I bet you those links are on paranormalgenealogist.com.
They are.
All right. Thank you again.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.